Huddle with Rich and Arnie, powered by Reuben James, Main Street in Burlington. Find them online at rjsburlington.com. Now, here's the Huddle with Rich and Arnie, live on 101.3 ESPN, 101.3ESPN.com, and streaming worldwide on the 101.3 ESPN app.
Good afternoon. You are in the Huddle right here, 101.3 ESPN. It is a Thursday, second day of November. All accounted for. Brady's here. Rich is here. Arnie's here. How you doing, handsome? Oh, look at you. Real quick, even before anybody talks,
it's the Arnie show.
We got to get this out of the way. The boss came in. Yep. And we start off the show. When somebody does something wrong, we issue an apology. I want to apologize to Brady for what happened yesterday when Brady got bullied by this kid when we were playing basketball.
12-year-old.
And forced Brady to leave the gym yesterday. And I feel bad because I get the feeling, Brady, you didn't think I had your back last night. Is that what it was? Because he chased you out of the gym after like one game. You left.
Number one.
Just sit there, Brady. I feel bad enough as it is. Rich, I just feel terrible that this 19-year-old kid pretty much threatened Brady out of the gym. And I'm like, I've got your back. But pretty much scared him right out of one game and he was gone, Rich. One game.
I turn?
Yeah, go ahead.
It's good to be here.
I
heard rumors.
Yes, Brady got into a fight last night.
I heard he completely schooled the kid and he didn't like that.
Can we look up the definition of school?
Can you look up the definition of truth anywhere in this?
What have I not said that isn't true? Did you not leave after two games?
You just said one game, so did I leave after one or two?
Well, they're like half game. They're not even half game.
Did I leave after one or two?
Did you leave after 10 minutes or not?
No, 40 minutes.
Because you had to wait 20 minutes to play.
I got there at 7:20. I left at 8 o'clock, and the reason why I left is because the World Series was on, so that's why I left Game 7. I didn't stick around and miss any of the game like you did.
Well, so it was a coincidence that guy was bullying you and you left at the same time?
That guy left before me,
and
he left before me because I schooled him out of the gym.
Wow,
because
you guys were going at it, Brady. I thought we were going to have to break it up.
Here's what happened.
Yeah.
A punky 19-year-old kid showed up and tried to talk smack to me. I scored 7 points out of 15. He didn't even touch the ball once, and he still got in my face, called me some names, which, you know, he's lucky that I'm not in the business of, you know, getting into it.
You're a lover, not a fighter.
Getting into it with 19-year-olds. So he pushed and shoved me. Then I just proceeded to keep taking him to the basket and scoring, and that was it.
He's probably a tailgater, too.
Rich, you think I'm the one that causes trouble at these basketball games?
Yeah, I know. He's a little rough and tumble.
Oh, my goodness, man. And they were a couple of buddies, I go, watch Brady. He's getting at it. He'll come down. He's going to shoot the three for the game winner. And they go, is he going to make it? I go, no.
And I did.
No, the one before that you missed.
Oh, okay. But I made the next one for the winner.
We didn't bring that one up. But he missed the game winner.
So I wonder if these people hear all of this on the air and purposely incite a riot at the gym because you're going to talk about it.
We had a new crew. Yeah, there must have been, seven, eight new guys?
Probably 7, 8 new people.
Yeah, 7, 8 new guys. And let's do it.
Yeah, I want to get on the radio.
I wish.
That's the guy on the radio, so I'm going to be a complete tool to him.
Well, but you know what? That's fine, but let's bring it up. Bring your A game. But unfortunately, I stayed till about 8:15 because I wanted to run to go see the World Series. I would have stayed till 10. If there's going to be guys out there, I'm sorry, Brady and some other guys left early, but I wanted to stay for a while. You know what
it is? Pathetic. It's pathetic. Any of you people that take that seriously.
Oh, it was great.
Meaningless basketball games.
He was talking smack to me.
Can't talk smack.
It's kind of like, remember when Gronk said about the guy in the Colts? He goes, I just had to, he was talking smack, so I had to throw him out the club.
Exactly.
That's what it was like.
You know, we got to play in the other gym. It's a lot bigger in the other gym.
There's another gym?
Yeah, just on the other side of the
hallway.
Oh, I didn't
know that.
Yeah, which we could fit real 5-on-5.
Let's do it.
With a scoreboard and everything, I just don't know if you guys. I mean, I play on there sometimes on Tuesday night at that gym. So I don't know why we're not using that gym to begin with. It's a much bigger gym. I don't know what it is. I actually think
people are interested in hearing your basketball exploits.
Yes, because
every single show.
Yes, because they came out and tried to challenge us. You can't challenge us, Rich.
Okay, you're just too damn good.
You can't be challenging us. We're all going to RJ's tonight, so I'm very excited about that.
Yes, Thursday night football, Labatt tailgate party. We'll be there. Everyone's going to be there. We'll see if Ken Kreitz will join us, or if he'll find a way to flake out again on the heels of some family excuse. But
I have a what's this called? An email from him, and shall I read it?
Sure.
Brady, Rich, Arnie. I am going to RJ's tonight with some fellow Shelburne buddies. See you there.
Well, ask him about the time, the last time he said he was coming with Shelburne buddies and then backed out.
Okay, it's in writing.
Those crazy Shelburne buddies.
Probably
not
one of those your basketball
guys.
Players.
I know somebody who's coming tonight to RJ's.
Jason.
No, besides Jason, and he will be there.
Our buddy Jack Cordy from NBC5.
Oh, I've been big timing him like crazy, so he must be hating my guts by now. So
he'll be there.
I've been making his life miserable, so Jack Cordy will be there.
Maybe my neighbor?
No, not your neighbor. He may be there, but no, not. That's not what I'm talking about.
Jess will be there.
No, the guy that stalks you every day, that calls into the station that says you're horrible?
Oh, yeah. So
he called again today, Rich.
Yes.
It's like a daily occurrence
now. He's clearly bored.
Oh, it's great. I love it. I mean, I
what does he say? You guys suck and then hang up?
No, he just rips Brady.
Anonymous tough guy?
Yeah.
Brady. Yeah. Oh, no, he's not anonymous.
Okay, that makes it better.
This guy called in the other day and told me how bad I was, and then he didn't know he was talking to me.
Oh, that's right.
I didn't tell him it was me. And today he called in and said the exact same thing as the other day.
In case he didn't make his point the first time.
It's probably the 19-year-old punk.
Yeah. this time I told him it was me. And
oh, look at you. Yeah. You're feeling tough. Wow. Yeah.
I think he'd feel kind of guilty after he realizes he's hammering on the guy he's talking to.
So what did he say to you once you said who you were?
Then he just proceeded to ask his point in the form of a question. He told me I was entitled.
Like Alex Trebek?
he told me I was entitled. He told me I think that I am part of UVM when I am not.
Wow.
And I went back and listened to the segment of which he was referring to.
He didn't say that.
And he was wrong. So that's fine.
Oh,
he was wrong.
Wow.
What else are we supposed to say? Are we supposed to hate UVM?
No, he said, I said we as like the community, and he thought I meant like, we as in, like, I'm part of the team.
Did he go to UVM? I'm just curious.
I don't know, and I don't care.
Well, why wouldn't you find that out? You got to badger the guy back a little bit.
I just told him, I said, thank you for listening. We appreciate it.
Ask him if he plays basketball.
really.
That's where we settle everything on the basketball court.
How many people? Look, I can't complain about that guy or anyone who calls his team we, because I do it constantly, every show.
I don't care. That doesn't bother me at all. I say we like crazy. Yeah.
Patriots are we. Yeah. We lost. We won.
Oh, I don't see. I don't say that. I don't say that at all.
Well, that's ridiculous.
I have no problem with it.
I told the guy after. But this is what I said to him. He goes, do you think you're like a part of UVM or something? Are you on like the search committee for the new arena?
Wow.
Are you doing the fundraising efforts? And he's like, and then I said to him, I go, sir, I've been here 13 months. I've never once said we in reference to the Patriots, Red Sox, Bruins, or Celtics, Yankees, or Giants. I said, I think I have a pretty good idea of who I am and am not affiliated with.
Do our taxes go to that? Don't we pay taxes?
Just looking for stuff
no,
to make
well, fundraising no, money.
It's fundraising money?
Yeah.
Well, you know what? Now I'm going to donate money just so I could say we.
That's
what it could be.
There's a dollar.
Wow, he came after you. I hope he comes to RJ's tonight.
Yeah, I don't care.
No, I do. I mean, that way we could talk to him a little bit.
Between basketball and this guy, you're not making a lot of friends around.
I just wish I had gotten it on tape.
And you think everybody hates me. Like, I'm the bad guy all of a sudden.
Arnie wishes
time.
It had been him.
Jeez,
he
I do.
Revels. He revels
I'm
in that
jealous.
Show.
What are you kidding me? I'm jealous about this
equal
stalker.
Opportunity hating, baby.
I wish I had a stalker on the on the text line. All right, we got a lot to get through. Busy, busy show on this Thursday. Brady, tell me what's coming up.
Well, coming up tonight, RJ's.
Oh, he's so entitled. No, yeah. I'm just kidding. Go ahead.
The Red Sox made a big addition to their staff. We'll get to that in 15 minutes.
Yes, we did.
Gordon Hayward finally speaks. Matt Verderama, fan sided at 5 o'clock. Seth Everett, baseball expert at NBC Sports 520, another qualifier for ESPN. But first, only one place to start, and we have a world champion in baseball. It is the Houston Astros.
That's right. Your Tri-City Valley Cats 5 years later.
That's right. I did work for the Valley Cats, so I could say we.
Wow. Wow.
That's a good point.
That's bothering him.
No, but it's nobody's right. And I how many times have I said on this show over the years how frustrating it is all those years cheering for and working for the Vermont Lake Monsters, and every year it would be the same thing. The Tri-City Valley Cats would win the division, they'd win the league, and they were always good. And if you look back on those rosters, there's your team. Springer, Altuve, the list goes on.
You know, just first of all, one thing on Game 7, bored the tears.
Yeah, it was not good.
Absolutely bored the tears. The Dodgers lost that game in the first three innings of the game when they've left, I don't know.
At one point, before Ethier's hit, they were 0-10. Before Ethier brought in the run, they were 0-10 with runners in scoring position.
What was that stat you gave me? Oh, 0-10.
They were 0-10 going into Ethier.
If the bases are loaded and there's nobody out and it's 1-2-3, you're out, that's 0-3, 0-3, 0-3, that's 0-9. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
That must have been through the roof. Is that 0-10? Is that what you're telling me or no?
No, they were 0-for-10 with runners in scoring position. That's not left on base is different than at bat.
I'm just it was just astronomical the amount of chances they had to go ahead and get back in the game. And I'm not talking about getting five runs back, though.
By the way, what you're saying is if it's bases loaded, nobody out.
Right, right.
And you don't score.
Right.
The team has three runs left on base at the end of the inning.
Yeah.
The players individually would have three.
Right.
And three.
I'm talking more like that. They had so many, I mean, really no outs first and second, no outs, bases loaded. They did this horrible job. They lost that game in the first three innings. Bored to tears. Terrible way to finish a great series.
Dodgers finished runners in scoring position 1-for-13. Houston finished 1-for-10, so 2-for-23 between the two of them. But it really didn't matter with Houston. As you said, that game was, I mean, I found myself watching Celtics Sacramento.
Is that crazy?
I mean, it was 5-0, and you just knew that was it. Although McCullers kept hitting people.
Yeah.
I mean, I think he had more hit batters than hits.
The only real question is what was more impressive, George Springer's end series stat line or Carlos Correa proposing on the field?
How funny was that?
Let me speak for all the women out there. Okay, let me just allow.
Are you going to use we for this?
Yes, I'm going to do that because usually I speak for all the guys. I'm going to speak for all the women out there.
Oh my
and
gosh.
Let me tell you something. The women do not want to be proposed on. After a big game seven, they want their own special day. Speaking for all the women listening for, they're going, "You go, Arnie, you go."
Arnie would know as someone who's been proposed to.
Yes, exactly. I know because I've been proposed to
multiple times.
You don't want to do, forget Valentine's Day, birthdays, Christmas. They want their own special day. Forget about the scoreboard, all that stuff. Okay, so throw that out the window. And I know I'm doing a special PSA announcement for all the women out there, but somebody had to speak up.
Well,
the only time those
public things are fun is when the woman says no. Now that's a good time.
How about the fact that Justin Verlander's not going to the parade because he's going to get married to Kate Upton in Italy? He's skipping the parade.
You know what? That's okay. He's not stupid.
Should I put Brady on the spot? If we can go send you to Italy with them, would you get married?
I don't want to get married in Italy.
Well, why not?
I don't want to get married in Italy.
Hell, I got married in Lindenville.
Yeah, Lindenville or Italy? Yeah. Those
Nothing
are your two
says
choices
romance
out
like
there.
Lindenville.
I would choose Italy over Lindenville.
Yeah. How many people got proposed or got engaged last night or picked places they were getting married and stuff like that?
Carlos Correa.
Yeah, and then you got to throw Verlander in there too because he's running off too. And
didn't the Boise State guy they won that?
Yeah. Afterwards,
proposed. Yeah.
You think they're more worried about the game than they're worried about what they're going to do afterwards? You know
how about
what I mean?
Getting married at a ballpark. Is that a no-no as well? You've seen a few of those.
No,
yeah,
that would be
that.
Great.
Yeah, you could do that. I have no problem with
Skip
that.
Skip Farrell married Wonder Wendy at the Lake Monsters game.
Oh, did they? That's
about
very cool.
7-8 years ago. It was great.
I like that. No, that's fine. But, you know, women want their own day. They don't want you to go, oh, it's Christmas. We got engaged or married on Christmas. No, that doesn't fly,
I
Rich.
Got married the day after Christmas. In Lindenville.
A little cheaper in the winter,
I imagine. That's cold.
Yeah, that's saving money. That's for sure there. But, the whole thing came to a horrible end out there. I feel bad for the Dodgers. I was watching clips of the L.A. News, and they were live at the, obviously, at the streets of Los Angeles, and people were going by giving the news the finger. No, I'm serious. There's a couple of people that were doing that.
I found myself with a couple of thoughts when this game ended. One, I think there's a nice poetic irony in the fact that the two biggest championships of the baseball year were both handed out at Dodger Stadium. World Baseball Classic ended at Dodger Stadium with some of those players being involved in that game. Carlos Correa of Puerto Rico on the losing side of that game. And then you saw like Luke Gregerson, who was the closer for that U.S. team at the World Baseball Classic, winning it again last night. So I thought that was pretty cool. I started thinking about, I made this point yesterday. I said it to a couple different people. A lot of people don't buy into it. I think I do buy into it. I think the Astros winning is good for the Red Sox. I really do think
it's good. Why is that?
Because if the Astros had lost a game seven, you know they would have gone into free agency and said, okay, what's the one piece we're missing? What's the one piece we're missing? So they were going to be more motivated and more spend happy in free agency. Now I think that they've won. The pressure's off. Maybe they can go through a Cubs-like World Series hangover for 2.5 months, and that's better for the other teams in the AL.
The one thing I saw about Houston that depresses me as a Sox fan is the fact that this team isn't going away.
On this team is a free agent.
No, I mean Springer, Bregman, Altuve, Correa, Gurriel. I mean, these are all... these are kids.
Altuve is the only, he's 2 years left on his deal, and he's the first one of them to be a free agent.
And
Verlander's
got what, 2 years left?
He's got three years.
Jeez.
The only people they're going to lose are inconsequential Tyler Clippard, who didn't even make this World Series roster. So the Astros are going to be good for a while. You just have to hope now that they kind of loaf through the early part of next season.
Now, Brady, just real quick on the side note, tell everybody who we're going to have on tomorrow from the SI the cover story there.
We're not having anybody on.
Oh, I thought we were. I thought we were having the guy that had the. Did I get that wrong?
Tomorrow we're having on.
How did I think of that? Go ahead.
Tomorrow we're having on Thomas Junot, who co-wrote the Tom Brady article.
Oh, no.
ESPN,
okay, I got that one mixed up. I don't know why I thought it's. The guy that wrote the SI article was
Ben Ryder.
Okay, I got that mixed up. He went ahead and obviously wrote an article 3 years ago about the Astros. It was on the cover of SI.
Right on the cover.
Of the Astros winning the World Series. And I was listening to Dan Patrick do a little bit of this day, too. If you could go ahead and pick a cover prediction for 2020 right now, what would be your cover prediction? If you guys want to chime on in, 802-655-6672. That's 802-655-6672 on the Town Fair Tire text line. I'll tell you this right now, right on the cover. It's done. New York Knicks win the NBA championship.
Oh, I thought you were going to say something about baseball. Oh,
I can do baseball also. You can do baseball also. It doesn't make a difference, whatever sport.
There's a better chance the Knicks could win the World Series than the NBA championship.
Rich, they said the Astros. You know,
right. But you could see that coming as they lose 105 games every year because they were all
21. How did you see that coming? So what? Yeah.
Oh,
come
they had
on.
All those, because two reasons. Three reasons. Altuve, Springer, and Correa. Absolutely. You put that kind of talent, you could see it coming.
If you're talking about baseball, I would say the Yankees are in a position to win in 2020.
I agree. Go ahead.
If you're going with the off-cuff as bad as the Astros, then it would be the Chicago White Sox. If you're going with a team...
That's what somebody else brought that up.
If you're going with a team that's just atrocious and is building the way the Astros did, it would be the White Sox. The Yankees are the more logical team.
My answer is exact same. I think it's 3 years, Yankees and Astros.
Now, you can put anything on the cover, any team, any player, any special prediction, 802-655-6672, like LeBron brings third championship in a row to the Lakers. I don't know. You tell me, LeBron brings, a second championship in a row to the Lakers. I think that could be on the cover.
Byron Buxton and the Minnesota Twins. That kid's got a hell of a future.
Like
but
that?
Is he going to be enough? They need three or four guys, and that's what Houston had 3 years ago.
Right, and real quick, my buddy Sean Sharif in Dallas, I know we got to go ahead and get to the break. He did his equations. He wrote, Yu Darvish, who, by the way, was just awful, equals Kirk Cousins. And then he wrote, Clayton Kershaw equals Peyton Manning. I'm not so sure I'd even put Yu Darvish and Kirk Cousins category, to be honest with you. And I think that's kind of a slap in the face to Clayton Kershaw. Is it to say that he's a Hall of Famer like Peyton Manning? Maybe that isn't such a slap in the face. Maybe that is a good comparison, Clayton Kershaw. Peyton Manning did lose a lot, did he not?
He did, but he did win once. Kershaw hadn't done that yet.
He's won twice.
Yeah,
Manning won twice.
With the
Indian Denver. Okay, never mind. I forgot the Denver one because he really didn't have much to do with that Super Bowl.
Actually, that's a slap in the face to Peyton Manning, maybe.
Yes, it is.
Wow. Yeah. That is a little bit of a slap
in
the
Kershaw
face.
Yeah, Kershaw needs to win one, and believe me, they'll be back.
Matt in Bickford, or Matt in where? Where is he from? Or is that his last name?
Matt Bickford from Jeffersonville.
Okay. I'm so
Matt from Bickford.
Matt from Bickford. We shouldn't even read their last name.
Very small town.
2020, LeBron leaves Cavs. The quarterback, the Browns, they still go 0-16. I would like to see LeBron.
It's not a reach.
They say LeBron could play football if he wanted
to. There are some things in life that are guaranteed, and one of them is the Browns.
I like that. Brady, what's coming up next segment?
We heard some very interesting things yesterday in Champlain Valley Game Night from Dan Shaughnessy of the Boston Globe about Brady, Belichick, and Robert Kraft. Interesting stuff. We'll play it for you next.
All right, that's coming up next right here on 101.3 ESPN.
What crazy thing will Arnie say next? Find out now on The Huddle with Rich and Arnie on 101.3 ESPN.
All right, good afternoon, everybody. You're in The Huddle right here, 101.3 ESPN. It is a Thursday. Is it second day of November? Yes, I got that one right. See, I'm right on that part. I'm going to get something right today. I promise you that. 363 days
till Halloween.
Read what Robin Swanton wrote, because he wrote it like four different times.
He thinks the New York Jets. He says the New York Jets, Super Bowl champs.
No, I'm not buying that.
Wow.
I'm not buying that for 2020. If I was going to go, Cleveland Browns.
They get so many high picks.
Yeah. I mean, you'd think eventually that
Buffalo Bills.
Yeah, Buffalo Bills are going to make the playoffs. That's not too far
out. It's not a reach. What about the Niners with their star quarterback?
Sooner or later, the Bills have to win it, don't they?
They have to get to the playoffs again.
I hope so. Just not soon.
How about the Bruins win the Stanley Cup in 2020?
Well, they're losing young. If you're going to be mediocre, be young doing it.
How about this is the headline in 2020? You ready for this? Bye-bye. We'll miss you, Tom and Bill.
That sounds all right
to me. But that's not championships.
That means we have 3 years to go.
I said headlines, just any headlines.
Yeah, this is going away from the original.
I'm sorry, but that'd be a great one. I'd save that. You'd be crying like a baby today.
2020, Arnie Spanier, still bad at basketball.
No, I was going to say 2020, Arnie's 101.3 show.
Yeah.
You guys aren't here, yeah. No, I like that, though. Bill and Tom, bye-bye. Walking off hand in hand in the moonlight,
you know
2020.
What? If you're saying this happens in 2020, I'm perfectly okay with that.
Hey, that's a good one, though. Yep. Actually, I'm patting myself on the back on that one. Go ahead,
speaking of that, this leads us into... So last night on Champlain Valley Game Night, I had on legendary Boston Globe columnist Dan Shaughnessy.
Nice.
So he joined the show. And I've heard some rumors this week that Brady and Belichick really aren't... They really don't have a very good relationship, that it's all Brady and Kraft. So I asked Dan Shaughnessy about it, and here's what he said.
You know, I've never felt that Belichick and Kraft are very close. That you know, Kraft's this, you know, great owner who is very needy and is sometimes taking positions that make Bill roll his eyes. You know, the whole Patriot Way thing comes from Kraft, not from Bill, you know. And just a lot of the, you know, Kraft's the one who told him it was okay to kneel, and 16 of them did. And then the next week, they all changed their minds, evidently. I have a feeling that that's probably Bill. So you got that split right there.
So that's Belichick and Kraft. As far as Belichick and Brady, here's what Dan continued to say.
The Brady-Belichick thing, I have no idea. I think that the Alex Guerrero presence is in the way. That's going to come out in that magazine piece. And I'm sure Bill hates having this guy around on his sideline, in his locker room, on the airplane. And he's not on the staff. And he's kind of a witch doctor. He's a fraud. So that's going to create tension.
So two separate things there. Belichick and Kraft, not a great relationship, and Belichick and Brady's people at odds also. I thought both sets were interesting.
Well, I don't think the Belichick-Kraft thing is a surprise at all to me. Because Kraft is in it to make money. He wants to make money. He wants to make friends in high places, and he wants to be famous. I think that matters to him. Belichick could not care less about that. He wants one thing, and that's all, and that's for his team to win a Super Bowl every year.
I also don't think, number one, they've been together now for 20 years almost. Eventually, professional relationships after 20 years could run sour, so that wouldn't surprise me. And number two, does Belichick have to be cuddly with Kraft? Are you supposed to be cuddly with your superiors?
Who did we have on, Tony Dungy? Did they get that one right? Didn't we have him on? And we talked about Belichick once, and you know, about it's on the Kansas City. And I know people are Cincinnati or whatever it was. You know, and I know people like to say he has a little bit of a sense of humor. I never bought into that. Mm-hmm. I think the guy's a curmudgeon. He's on the curmudgeon on TV. He's
Absolutely.
Always a curmudgeon. Yeah. And I don't find it surprising that he's not a likable guy, to be honest. He has no personality. And the only time I've ever seen him with a personality is when he took those pictures with his girlfriend and he wore a blazer. Otherwise, the guy really is just, you do not want to root for him because he comes across that way.
Well, you don't want to root for him. I do.
A lot of people don't want to root for him. Right. I know that.
He coaches the team that has given my life enormous positive pleasure over the last 20 years after 20 years of pure hell. So, I've said this 100 times in the show, if Bill Belichick were not the coach of the Patriots, I would not like him at all.
Well, and we are going to have Thomas Juneau on tomorrow, who's one of the co-authors of that piece in ESPN that Shaughnessy was referencing. But the Alex Guerrero thing, we heard hints of that on Tuesday when we talked to Zach Cox of Nesson before this thing came out.
Right.
And I think that's really interesting, too. Tom Brady, this guy who's so regimented, who's so belief-oriented in his fitness regime, he's got this kind of shady figure here, and he brings him around the team, and he's on the team playing, and he's in the locker room, the sidelines. That can't be.
What does that remind you of?
Reminds me of A-Rod.
I was going to say, does it remind you of Balco or something like
that? Yeah, it reminds me of A-Rod and A-Rod and Bonds to a degree. But those guys were going to shady factories and shady laboratories. This Brady's bringing this guy around the team, and I can't imagine for someone who's much of a control freak as Belichick, he likes that.
Yeah, no, I agree, and that's Belichick for you. Absolutely. That's completely Belichick's personality. He wants the absolute minimum amount of people in the way of everything. If you're not serving a purpose to his team winning games, he doesn't want you around for 1 second, and he'll probably let you know that. But you know what? If this Guerrero guy is making Tom Brady the best, one of the top three quarterbacks year after year, including at the age of 40 in the NFL, Belichick has to look past that and allow him on the plane and at practice. And I think he is, because he realizes Brady is happier with him around.
Yeah, but I don't think that Belichick likes him. That's what Shaughnessy said. So, and I don't think it's as easy as, oh, Belichick looks the other way on this. My guess is that Kraft is okay with this guy being around, and Belichick and Kraft don't have a great relationship, but he can't go over Kraft on this.
I like the fact, look at it the other way. I like the fact that Brady doesn't even deal with Belichick, that he goes above and goes to Kraft about this.
Potentially,
thing.
Yeah.
Well, there is no potentially, because you know if he went to Belichick, Belichick would have said no.
And
so he went over his head and went to the owner, and the owner said, sure, Tom, anything for you. That's exactly what's going on here.
And that piece also says that there's a collision course coming here between Guerrero and the Patriots people, because Guerrero's got a couple of Patriots players working with him, from Danny Amendola and Julian Edelman and Dante Hightower. And the other thing that's really interesting, think about this. We'd all talk about Tom Brady and his fitness and the TB12 method. Well, those guys are doing stuff with Guerrero too, and they all got hurt. Brady, does the TB12 method only work for Brady, and it's all some big sham?
Well, he has the pajamas, those rejuvenated pajamas that him and I both wear. I want you to know that. Can you just buy that anywhere, like at Sears or something like that, or no?
No, but it does make you wonder when everybody on the team that makes any difference. I was talking about that as I got ready at 1:45 to watch that game with the Chargers, thinking, is there anybody left on this team? And then you realize, oh, yeah, the 40-year-old quarterback is perfectly healthy and ready to go.
Yeah, he's fine.
Well, it's weird because anybody who was playing has been you know, banged up this year, but Brady just keeps on trucking.
All right, here's a new text that came in. Greg in Colchester, after failing to finish above .500, Boston replaces Alex Cora with Jason Veritek as Red Sox manager for the 2021 season. Again, Greg in Colchester. That might not be far off. That might not be too far off.
No, but if Veritek is going to get that job and be in a position 3 years from now, he might want to start by getting a minor league job.
Yeah.
You think.
Well, Cora, 3 years sounds about the normal span there. You know what I mean? You'll get about three years on that. Matter of fact, while we're talking about the Red Sox, get into who the Red Sox got today.
Yeah, the Red Sox brought Tony La Russa, Hall of Fame manager, onto their staff. He's in the Hall of Fame, nearly 3,000 wins. He's won 3 World Series championships. He's not in an on-field capacity. He's going to be in the front office as a resource for Alex Cora and for the organization. I got to say this. I really like this move. And part of me at first thought, well, you're going to kind of undermine Cora with having this figurehead up above, kind of like Pat Riley with Eric Spoelstra at first. But I like this for a guy who's never been a manager.
Right.
I like having all these resources available. And when you look at what else they did to their staff, they've got a good collection of people there for Cora to go to. I like this move.
I don't think La Russa has any desire to manage team at 73 years old. If he's the ultimate been there, done that, if there ever was one. I think it's a good move, and I think Cora will probably go to La Russa at times. I think that's what the purpose is going to be.
That's what I'm afraid of. We hired Cora, let me get this right, because he was a player's manager. He's young and hip, and he could talk to the guys, and he could talk to the foreign players, and he gives a little spunk in here. So whenever he wants advice, let's go to the 73-year-old, which is why we didn't hire an old guy. We hired a young guy because we wanted the young thinking, but let's go ahead and have the 73-year-old be an advisor. That doesn't make sense to me.
I think you're overthinking it.
I'm not overthinking
really
nothing. Nothing for me.
La Russa's going to be around most of the time. Isn't he just going to fly in every now and then and have a little
then
office?
It really does nothing, then, to be honest with you.
Well, he's going to be in the front office. Yeah. So I'm under the impression he's going to be around a little more. I mean, he was an everyday fixture in Arizona, and then he left. I think he's coming here to do the exact same type. Him and Dombrowski are buddies. They used to work together with the White Sox as far back as 86. Arnie, I do think you're looking at it wrong, too, okay? People go to their fathers for advice. People go to other professionals for advice. I don't think you're looking
at
that the
right way. My father's stayed the same business for 50 years and get that gold watch. I don't need advice from a 73-year-old. If I want to know how to run my business now, I want advice from a 30-year-old. I want advice from somebody young. How do I get on this and Snapchat and Facebook and da-da-da and get me on social media? I'm not going to a 73-year-old to tell me how to – What? And by the way, analytics – Tony La Russa?
Well, that guy,
can he run a calculator?
That's not what they're hiring to
do. What do they hire? For his good looks? To make trades? Just give him advice? What exactly are they hiring him for?
I think they're bringing him in to possibly occasionally have some thoughts on things that he's observing because he's 73. He's been there a zillion years. And he's full of baseball wisdom, for whatever that might be worth.
He's being brought in to assist in all areas of baseball operations, including player development and consultation with major and minor league coaching staffs. So this is not just a figurehead position. He's going to be involved. I think it's a good resource for Cora, as long as he doesn't try to get too hands-on, and by all indications are that he won't.
Let me ask you just one question. Suppose they would have hired a 55, 60-year-old manager. You guys would not be sitting here. A manager now. Would you not be complaining? Oh, my goodness.
Correct. I would be complaining.
Of course you would. So I just don't know why. And look, I don't care, really, because it's really insignificant in the grand scheme of things, because he's really not going to do a whole heck of a lot. But I never understood that. If you want to go and get advice on how to run your business, I'm not going to go to my grandpa so he can tell me how they ran it back in his day. I want to go to somebody younger that tells me how you run it nowadays.
I just think he's going to be a guy in the distance that's going to be able to help. I'm assuming they didn't get a chance to tell Cora, since I would assume he's quite hungover today, so he may get the call but as a member of the Houston Astros. But I would imagine, I mean, do you think they got in touch with him about this Larusa thing? Because how could they?
I think they probably did. The major league staff's been close to finalize, and Cora's handpicked these guys. So Cora's been involved. Look, Arnie, I think, and before we break into this, I just think for a first-time manager, having a lot of people around him that can help in a lot of different facets of managing is important. You have a senior advisor up there in Larusa who's been there, done that, and won a championship. You have Cora's own experiences, which help. He's got next to him Ron Renicki, who's a 27-year...
Yeah, I know Ron Renicki,
a 27-year major league coach, including a former manager. That helps. You've got Carlos Fables, who's been at AA managing Portland, which helps because he knows the younger players on this roster, also bilingual. I think all of those things together give the Red Sox a well-rounded staff.
I was thinking about some of the coaches, the young Steve Kerr. Well, he's old. He's 50-something. But, I mean, it's these new young coaches that
Jerry West up there, too. You don't think he ever went to Jerry West's office and said, hey, Jerry, you used to play. What do you think?
Jerry was also in Memphis. They didn't win a championship. Jerry was also in Los Angeles, though he was a big part of getting Kobe there. But he was a lot younger then when he was with Los Angeles. Look, if you have an advisor, but 73 years old, that is a hell of an old, to be honest with you.
Hey, maybe you'll see Tony La Russa sitting on the first base grandstand at Centennial when the Lowell Spinners are in next summer. I mean, that's the thing. What's his role? I guess we'll find out.
All right. If you want to get in, and by the way, if you want to send on the Town Fair Tire text line, we'll take more of your 2020 predictions, like the Sports Illustrated one. I guess that breaks the Sports Illustrated jinx, right? That
certainly
just shatters that
it
one.
Crushes it.
Yeah, so get in on the Town Fair Tire text line, 802-655-6672, 655-6672. Brady, tell everybody who's coming up next.
Ken Kreitz. Choo-choo! Get your fantasy football questions ready now on the text line, phone line, Twitter.
I don't know if you can
want.
Help me. I'm 1-7.
No, you're done.
Wow.
Stick a fork in him.
I don't give up. I didn't even take a trade. I don't give up.
Yeah, you're done.
That's coming up next right here on 101.3 ESPN.
Coming up tomorrow.
The local sports talk show. Nothing else comes close. Come to think of it, there isn't anything else. The Huddle, 101.3 ESPN.
All right, good afternoon, everybody. You're in the Huddle right here, 101.3 ESPN. It is a busy Thursday. We're going to be out at RJ's. Looking forward to that. I got my hockey game. First, guys, let's go out to the TikTok Jewelers. Guest line joining us now of RotoWire, thanks to our friends over at Valley Vape Company, located at 12 Park Street out there in Essex Junction. It's Ken Kreitz. How you doing, Ken?
I'm doing really well, Arnie. How are you?
Good, my friend. You ready to make it out to RJ's or what?
I am in for RJ's. I've got about four of us from Shelburne coming in one car.
The badass guys of Shelburne, huh?
the tough town.
I've heard about those Shelburneites.
Well, we have to, if we want to see a game that lasts past 9:30 p.m., we have to leave town because all of Shelburne is completely dark at 9:30.
It's like the Real Housewives of Shelburne, except for guys. I can't think of the name, but the real fathers of Shelburne.
I mean, we have a lot of deep conversations about recliner chairs, man caves, garage improvements. It's a tough crowd.
That gets some serious ratings. So,
Kent, can you save me? I'm 1-7. Can I do anything?
I'm practically just as bad in this league. No, we're done, Arnie. We're playing for pride, but we certainly can help the listeners. That's for sure.
I'm not done, Rich. I'm 1-7. I need help.
Okay, you just
well, Arnie. What do you think about your guy Jay Ajayi getting dealt?
Yeah, well, I don't have him in my fantasy league team, so it doesn't help.
Well, I thought you were a Dolphins fan.
I am a Dolphin fan when they're winning. When they're losing, I can't take it anymore. Kent.
That's a real fan. Fantastic.
Kent, speaking of Ajayi, what about him and Kelvin Benjamin and Jimmy Garoppolo? I mean, what does this week's trade deadline fund do to their fantasy? I mean, I would assume it does something to Garoppolo's especially, and Ajayi's especially.
Good question, Rich. And isn't it nice to have an exciting trade deadline? I hope this is an annual tradition like we have in other sports. I'll say, I think Ajayi is the most interesting situation. He's clearly going to get less volume than he had in Miami. He's on a better offense. But Doug Peterson, the Eagles coach, he's really a running back by committee guy. You do wonder if Blount may still get some of the TD runs. They've got Smallwood and Clement down there. I mean, on the one hand, Ajayi had zero TDs in Miami, even with all that, all those carries. So it'll certainly be more efficient. One other stinker, though, Ajayi now has two bye weeks because Miami was off the first week and the Eagles are off coming up. Benjamin, I don't think his situation changes too much. He was the number one receiver in Carolina. Now he's going to be the number one option in Buffalo. By the way, he's 50-50 to play tonight per general manager Brandon Bean. Mm. And frankly, I can't imagine he's learned that much of the playbook in the last few days since his trade. He, oddly enough, skips a bye, so he could play in 17 games this season if you're in a rotisserie league. That's extra helpful. Garoppolo, you know, Kyle Shanahan actually came out Wednesday. He said he can't promise Garoppolo will play this season, which strikes me as a little crazy. I'm sure they'll take a look at him, but they're in no rush, right? They're winless. They have nothing to play for this year. So give Jimmy a week or two to learn the playbook. They've got rookie C.J. Beathard there playing so-so. I mean, you know, how well can you play on that team? But I don't think Garoppolo is a must add because I think frankly, I don't think they want to risk him. You know, they're now already playing for next year. They're well under the salary cap. They got plenty of money to make sure they sign Garoppolo as a free agent. I'm sure he'll be in San Francisco next year. So I don't see much upside this year, fantasy wise.
Ken, tough news for Andrew Luck. He's out for the year now. They put him on injured reserve. If you are in a keeper league, should you try to get rid of Andrew Luck in your keeper league and try to bring in an asset for this year, or should you be trying to acquire him on the cheap potentially?
That's an interesting question. It depends a lot on league rules. You know, he hasn't played a game this year, so a lot of the keeper leagues I'm in, you can't pick up free agents until they play a game in the season, and that's meant to kind of prevent stashing stuff like that. I guess it all depends on your situation and the rules of your league, but sure, if you can pick up Luck in a keeper league and then deal him. Now, his offensive line's probably going to be terrible again next year, too. But certainly a big name, and heck, if it can get you an RB3 even to occasionally play in the flex spot, it's probably a pretty clever move.
I just want to know why last year everybody made the playoffs but not this year in our league. What's going on, Ken? Why can't we
This is an extremely unusual fantasy league. Let me give you some crazy examples. Fantasy season. The top quarterback is Deshaun Watson. He's a rookie who in week one was backing up Tom Savage of all people in Houston. And so he missed week one, and then he's already had a bye, and he's still the number one fantasy point quarterback. Number two and three are Carson Wentz and Alex Smith, two game control guys, which is insane. And then Josh McCown is number nine, doing better than Matt Ryan, doing better than Ben Roethlisberger, and doing better than David Carr. So that's just the quarterback, how crazy things are. Running back, Kareem Hunt, who's also a rookie, he's the top running back fantasy points, but he hasn't scored a TD since week three. So that's a little peak and valley-ish. And then your top wide receiver this season, DeAndre Hopkins, he caught all of four touchdowns in 16 games last year. So he played, he just didn't produce. This year he's already got seven TDs. Certainly Watson's good play is helping that. But, you know, here we are headed into week nine. He's already got seven after only four TDs in 16 games last year.
I go to set my Market Square Heroes for the league today, and I realize half of my team is on a bye week, including both quarterbacks. any suggestions?
It all depends on who's available. C.J. Beathard probably is, but he's 25th. Let's see. Drew Stanton, we have ranked 20th. I mean, the only advantage there is he's playing a really bad 49ers team, but he's probably available. You may see if Jacoby Brissett's out there. That It's got a high over-under. I know it's in the 50s against Houston. So there are probably some options out there, but I can't fill half your roster. That's a tough one, Rich.
Brissett is who I went with, by the way, just to let you know.
Oh, okay, there you go. We have Brissett 18th this week.
Okay.
Ken, I was talking about this a little bit yesterday in Champlain Valley Game Night. Do you, as a fantasy guy, ever root against your own team for the benefit of your fantasy team? I hate that guy, but do you like that guy, and are you that guy?
He does hate that guy.
I heard the show, and I really liked the points you made about Brady. I am occasionally that guy if I have big money on the line. You know, if there is, you know, I'm some leagues I have a $1,500 pot, and if you know, I will turncoat a little, admittedly, if I have a big pot on the line.
Traitor.
I know. Wow. I'm that guy. Hey, Ken, I'm that guy. Ken, you can yell at me while we enjoy wings at RJ's.
Yeah. That's right. Ken, how about fantasy basketball? Some people are, you know, we're starting to get into it now.
Wow.
How did the injury to Gordon Hayward kind of skew things for the Celtics? Because Kyrie Irving didn't play that great at the beginning, but he's averaging 24 a night over the last few, and Jalen Brown's played really well.
Well, I think Rich will agree with me. The silver lining in the Hayward injury is now you're going to get Tatum and Brown are guaranteed serious minutes, you know. Yeah. And normally if you're the number three pick, you're going to a terrible team and you're forced to play too many minutes or having to learn on the fly. These guys are playing with Kyrie Irving and Al Horford. They're going to see 30 minutes a game or at least 25-plus minutes a game. You know, they're not going to be as reliable as more veterans, but to me, I was all over Brown and Tatum in as many fantasy hoops leagues as possible because the minutes are there, the high pedigree, and you get them in late rounds. I mean, just the upside for those two is amazing. And you think about next year when Hayward comes back, this Celtic team, you're talking about the Astros being loaded long-term. The Celtics could be looking at a very similar situation.
Wow.
They are very good, and they are very young.
All right, Ken, what are we going to get at RotoWire when we go there?
Please go to rotowire.com/free for a free 10-day trial. We have our usual 20 articles per week on the NFL, all the guidance you need to run your fantasy hockey and fantasy basketball, including, I'm the one, believe it or not, writing the Celtics player notes.
Wow, look at you.
To Brady's point, going to local squads. But by all means, come join us for free, rotowire.com/free. But I'm excited about tonight, guys. I'm sorry it's taken me so long to return to the Thursday night bar outings.
Ken, we got one listener question real quick.
Oh,
just
good.
Came in last second. Sam from Shelburne. He goes, Devontae Parker or T.Y. Hilton this week? He says, my league is a half-point perception.
I'm still worried about Parker's health. We have him 18th. But we've got Ty Hilton at 8th, despite the rocky season it has. Again, the over-under on that Colts Texans game, I think, is 52. And so expect a lot of passing, a lot of scoring. Definitely go with T.Y. Hilton, who we have ranked 8th this week.
Is that Sam from Shelburne, one of your wild crazies that's coming in tonight?
Shelburne's small enough, I'm surprised he didn't just knock on my door. But no, I don't know Sam.
All right, Ken, we'll see you tonight over at RJ's.
Can't wait, guys. It'll be a blast. Talk to you soon.
All right, Ken Kreitz of RotoWire, everybody. And, of course, thanks to our friends over at Valley Vape Company, located at 12 Park Street out in Essex Junction, who we love there. So we had a great time having remote out there. Alex owns the place. She's great. So go check out the Valley Vape Company at 12 Park Street in Essex Junction.
Well, I guess Ken's showing up tonight.
Yeah.
Can you imagine if he doesn't?
Yeah,
he'll be there.
He'll be a little late. You wanted to get to the Vermont Lake Monsters schedule. Came out pretty or what?
Yeah, I just wanted to get to that real quick. So on the day, this is supposed to be the first day that we don't have baseball since February, and the Lake Monsters give us a little bit of baseball glimpse again. 2018 schedule is out. If you want to know it, it's online at 1013ESPN.com. They'll open up June 15th. Our first home game will be 3 days later.
Now, and I don't know this. I don't remember, but do they have a celebrity game before the start of the season?
No.
No.
Well, maybe they should. I mean, Brady's here. You could play Rich. I could play. We could have a little fun. Get the guys from the TV.
Really? I just want to hit it out of the infield.
Some of the losers from the weather department, stuff like that. You know what I mean? Wow. Geez. I know. Would that not be fun, having like a celebrity game or something like that? Bring in the fences so we get it home runs?
It would be great. I would pitch, and I wouldn't give anybody any freebies.
Yeah, exactly.
I also want to know when the 25-cent hot dog nights are so I can circle them in advance. And when's the Brady, Rich, and Arnie bobblehead doll coming?
I know. We've got to have the bobblehead.
That would be one busy bobblehead.
Yeah. I want the celebrity game, but maybe celebrity softball. Darren Aaron could be there. We could have a whole bunch of
Jack
fun.
Jack Cordy. Ken Drake.
Oh, the whole crew. Why do they not have a celebrity softball game there?
We don't work the Lake Monsters, Rich.
Wow, Rich, why don't they have a celebrity softball game?
I don't know. I don't work for the Lake Monsters either.
So, but you've been here 30 years. I can't believe that, man.
Because there's no well, that's not true.
Get us three to come out. We get the TV guys to come out. We get Ben and Jerry to come out. Yeah. I mean, you get all all those guys to come out. What
Mid-season,
do you want?
Mid-season, usually, when there's a road trip, all the employees play a charity game. Not charity, but they play against each other. But that's about as far as
let's get
the
who runs things over there. Is it Nate? Is that who it is?
Yeah, Nate.
All right,
sure,
yell at him next time you see him,
sure.
Okay?
Kyle, the whole crew
The whole crew there. Make sure this year will be the first annual.
Joe,
celebrity gay.
We can't ask Joe. He just got married. He's too busy.
Don't break that. Don't do that.
The first annual?
Yeah, don't be that.
Yeah, you hate that. Don't you?
If it's the first, it's
not
the
first. Annual. But it could be the first annual.
No.
It's going to be every year after that.
It'd be the second annual.
And we could raise money. We could collect food for the food shelters and stuff like that. All kinds of fun stuff.
Okay.
All right. Well, look at you. You're not excited.
Well, I don't know. It just it seems a bit far-fetched.
He doesn't want to look bad in front of his late monster.
Exactly. Exactly. All right. You could do the announcing.
I'll do the announcing. Now you're talking.
All right. We'll finish up the hour with Clean Up Your Act. That's coming up next right here on 101.3 ESPN. Coming up to
Rich, how do you deal with this guy? It's The Huddle with Rich and Arnie on 101.3 ESPN.
All right, Brady, you want to give everybody the breaking bit of news that just came across.
Yeah, bad news. If it's true, Ian Rappaport.
It's true.
Ian Rappaport of the NFL Network reporting the Texans rookie quarterback Deshaun Watson feared to have suffered a torn ACL non-contact injury in practice today would put him out for the whole season. MRI coming to confirm.
Ugh. Can we agree that's maybe the most exciting young player in the NFL right
now? Awful. Awful.
Well, can Christ just say he's the number one quarterback in fantasy football.
Yeah, that's too bad. Wow.
I mean, horrible. Non-contact, too. So,
as it often is.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's what? Planting the leg wrong or your foot getting stuck in, cleat stuck in the rug or whatever.
Look at these videos. These guys spend 8 hours a day in the gym and working out so that things like that don't happen. And then they'll just be running down the field or the court and wham.
Texans quarterback Deshaun Watson feared torn ACL non-contact drill in practice today, reported by Ian Rappaport. So we'll get you the latest on that. Alex in Moncton sends in this. Arnie's bobblehead should be a bobbling jaw. So you like that, right? That's good. I can just have the mouth that goes back and forth. All right, Brady, time for Clean Up Your Act. Where do you want to go ahead and start? Who needs to clean up their act?
Janoris Jenkins of the New York Giants. He's been suspended for skipping practice on Monday. The team has gone south, but now the attitudes on the team have gone south, too. You're being paid a whole lot of money. Show up to work. Clean up your act.
Wow. All right, well, I got to tell this person to clean up their act, and hopefully they're not listening. But Brady needs to clean up his act when we play basketball, Rich, because he does charge sometimes. He comes in like a bull in a china shop, and it is charging. So if he played that against me like he did in the one-on-one, see, this is why I want a referee, Rich. This is why I want you to be there to Facebook it. Brady, clean up your act when we play basketball.
So in other words, if I had refereed that one-on-one you had with Brady, you would have lost maybe only 21-3.
I would have won, Rich.
Yeah,
I would have won, Rich.
So that's how his charge.
Clean up your act, Brady. I would have won, Rich. Okay, I want you to know that. So
let's go to the edge and play.
Wow!
And let me know when so I can ref it.
Yes.
Clean up your act, Brady.
I'll tell you who needs to clean up their act is the Cleveland Cavaliers. Where have they gone? What has happened to this team? 5 of their last 6 they've lost, and they've been bad teams. They get the Wizards next. The Pacers crushed them. They lost to the Knicks by like 20 points.
I know, that was great.
I mean, they lost to the Pelicans by 22 points. The Nets beat them in this streak. The Bulls, one of the worst teams in the league, and owner of one win. They barely beat them. They lost to the Magic at home by 20 points. I have no idea what's going on with this team, but I can tell you one thing. It's not going to last very long.
And Tristan Thompson out for a month now.
Yeah, and Thompson's gone, and we start. I mean, what's happened? Where's Kevin Love? Where's J.R. Smith? What's going on?
Can you call him by his real name? Tristan Kardashian.
Poor guy.
Yeah, I don't.
Who would ever enter into that fray?
I would change my name. I think I would call myself Artie Kardashian if I was married.
I'd call myself Gone.
Hi, I'm Artie Kardashian. And, All right, hour one in the books. We'll come back. Brady will have a Sports Center update. Matt Verderam will join us from fansided.com. We'll tell you what the film says. Seth Everett from NBC Sports Radio, the foremost baseball expert, will also stop on by. We need to get a ESPN trip qualifier later on this hour also. And Gordon Hayward speaks and almost brought me to tears. Unbelievable. I even got a little misty-eyed. I did get a little misty-eyed with that. I was cutting onions. So all that's coming up next right here on 101.3 ESPN.
Rich, Arnie, and Brady are back, and they're already starting to argue. The Huddle on 101.3 ESPN.
All right, good evening, everyone. Oh, it's actually good afternoon, or is it good evening now?
By Monday, it'll be evening.
Yes,
It'll be pitch blackout at this time by Monday.
Yeah, you're darn right about that. So,
how do you feel about that?
But I don't care about that so much. It doesn't bother me.
It drives me nuts.
An extra hour to party on Saturday night.
Yeah, because the clocks go back.
Well, that's a good point. For one day, it's good news.
Well, it's good for somebody like me who's out all the time.
Yeah, all night.
All night.
Doesn't matter. You're a night owl
anyway. 2 o'clock goes back to 1 o'clock, and I'm like, woo, yeah. Hanging out. And,
does that affect your show to the billion people?
No, it's a quarter of a billion people. And by the way, you said that bothers people more than anything when you go around town and people say the number one reason they hate me is because I'm on a quarter of a billion people per month.
Well, you say you are, yeah.
But that's what my boss tells me. It says in his emails, and you're on a quarter of a billion people get you per month.
Oh, so you have to say that, whether they're listening
or not. It comes in every email. It says, hi, how are you doing? And on the bottom, it says, sign by my boss's name. And it's like a tag that says, on a quarter of a billion people.
So to all you people out there that complain about that, that's not his fault. He's doing what he's told to do.
Exactly. As we go out to the TikTok Jewelers guest line, joining us now from fansided.com, it's our buddy Matt Verderam. How you doing, Matt?
I'm great. How are you guys?
Right off the bat, Garoppolo, he's doing great. He's going up to San Francisco. Tell me what the film says about Garoppolo. How good is he going to be? What the upside is? Is he worth a second-round pick? Is he worth a first-round pick? Are they getting a bargain here? How good is he? What does the film say on him?
You know, frankly, it's really an estimated guess because, you know, with him, he only started 2 games. And so there's not a ton of film on him. You know, of course, he's in the Patriots system. It's a little bit of a different system in San Francisco under Kyle Shanahan, a little bit more of a vertical game. That being said, you know, the film that he put out was terrific. I thought that he could get a first-round pick, although to be fair with the 49ers, they were not going to give up their first-round pick since it literally might be the first or second pick in the draft. Getting a second-round pick from San Francisco is almost the equivalent of getting a late first rounder. So I don't think it was a bad trade for New England. I think that the Pats were somewhat hemmed in. They knew they weren't going to be able to keep him after this year. His contract was up. You're not going to franchise tag your backup quarterback. And so I think the Patriots made the right decision. But Garoppolo, look, he obviously sitting behind Brady, being in a room with Belichick for all these years, he's been groomed to be very good. And so I think San Francisco got a good one. And I think that they'll bring him along slowly in a year that obviously is a rebuilding year for the 49ers.
But, Matt, do you see, I mean, obviously with so little to go on as far as film goes with Garoppolo, but you've got plenty of 49ers offense film. I mean, are you seeing, does that look like a good match from what you've seen from San Francisco?
Yeah, I think it is. Like, Garoppolo's got a good, strong arm. He's a kid who can throw the ball down the field, and that's what Kyle Shanahan likes to do. And right now he doesn't have a quarterback that can do that. Of course, started the year with Brian Hoyer, not a big arm guy. More of a backup-type role, which, of course, is what he has now in New England. And then he had C.J. Beathard, who, if you watch C.J. Beathard at Iowa, look, he's an accurate kid. He's somebody who I think could develop into a Brian Hoyer type, but he's not somebody who's going to go down the field and really utilize that arm. They don't have receivers other than Garcon in San Francisco who can get down the field. And so I think once Shanahan starts to build that program up a little bit, I think Garoppolo does fit what they like to do, which is really to try to spread the field and stretch it down vertically. And I think it's a good match. I actually think it's a better match for his skill set than most other places in the league.
Matt, with what the Niners are doing here, are we looking at a situation where next year, year after that, we're talking about the NFC West maybe being the best division in football? Would you look at Seattle, the Rams, and maybe what the Niners could be?
It could be. It could be. I think Arizona is the oldest team in football, and so they're going to have to rebuild significantly here. That being said, Seattle, the core of that team defensively is a little bit older, but still a very good team. We know Russell Wilson's there, and as long as he's there, they'll be good. The Rams, Jared Goff, Sean McVay. Sean McVay, he's younger than most of his players. So, you know, I think the NFC West certainly has a chance to be a very good division, already a division with two good teams in it. And, yes, San Francisco, I like what they're doing there. I think they're building a really good team. I know they're 0-8, but they played better than that. I actually think they're going to win this weekend against Arizona.
You know, Matt, let me equate this question to baseball. You know, yesterday, Game 7 of the World Series, people say that Yu Darvish was tipping his pitches. First of all, when you watch tape, can you steal the plays? Are people or players tipping off what plays are coming? Can you steal that? Would a good coach be able to steal that? Or can you steal it 20% of the time, 50% of the time, 70%? Or they don't tip the plays off?
You know, most good quarterbacks don't tip anything. But there are some guys.
Like offensive linemen and stuff like that, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, there are some offensive linemen, especially tackles, who, you know, they'll put their left foot back or their right foot back, depending on what side they are, if it's going to be a pass play. There was talk that Trevor Siemian was tipping some of the things he was doing with the way that he would stand under center. And so, you know, it's hard to always confirm those types of things. You know, sometimes it's coincidence more than anything else. But, yeah, absolutely, that does happen. There are multiple instances where if you watch them enough, you'll say, okay, I could tell they're going to run right here because of the way the right guard is lined up. And, you know, typically coaches will self-scout their own team and they'll try to eradicate those tendencies. But, yeah, it happens occasionally.
Matt, I'm sitting there watching the Pats beat the Chargers. It seemed comfortable right up until the very end, and yet you're sitting there going, they should be ahead by 30 points right now. I mean, what are you seeing on the tape from the Pats' poor offense in the red zone?
Yeah, you know, I watched that game live, and I went back and watched all 22 of it, and that was a weird game. I felt New England played well. I also thought the Chargers did all that they could to lose that game at times. They took a pass interference and they gave a touchdown. Travis Benjamin, that safety he took on the punt return, that was, honest to God, in 25 years of watching the NFL, that might be the single dumbest play I've ever seen. He didn't catch that ball at the 1. He caught it at the 9. So that was interesting. But, you know, listen, as far as New England goes, I think, you know, Gronkowski, he's going to continue to factor in more and more as we go. Cooks has done exactly what they thought he would do. He's been good. But I do think New England's got to run the ball consistently to start to open up these things more, because if you watch the film, teams are just begging New England to run the football. And you're always going to have that with Brady. There's always going to be some level of teams just wanting you to run, because no matter how well you run, it's better than Tom Brady throwing the football. But New England hasn't run consistently, and they haven't always protected Brady as well as they'd like to. I think if they could clean up those areas just a little bit, it'll take that offense from being a good offense to what we normally see out of the Pats, which is a great offense, a superior offense, almost anybody in the league.
Matt Verderin, fansided.com, with us here on the Huddle on 101.3 ESPN. We talk about Brandon Cooks being what they thought he would be. Is Brandon Cooks just a speedster who can get over the top of the defense and make people miss in space, or is he a precise route runner? What do you see on film?
He's more of a guy who's going to stretch you vertically. He's a better route runner than, let's say, a Mike Wallace. But Brandon Cooks, look, he doesn't run a whole route tree. He runs about 3 or 4 routes, and his best attribute is obviously his speed. He wants to get down the field, throw the deep ball. They wanted to bring him in and basically be like a Randy Moss light. Of course, he's not Randy Moss. Maybe 2 or 3 guys in NFL history are. But that same type of vertical threat, certainly the best one they've had since Moss. And so I think they envisioned having Edelman stretching teams horizontally, Gronk down the seam, and then Cooks going deep on a 9 route or a post or a corner. And so without Edelman, they've lost a little bit of that because teams can play back a little bit more. But Cooks is certainly deep threat first and everything else second.
You know, Matt, I don't even know if you do this. So I'm kind of curious about this because, you know, you watch all the plays. You're watching the games. You're watching what they're doing on each play. Do you ever watch people's demeanor, their body language, their emotion after a bad play? Like, let's say Brady walks off after an interception and he walks by Belichick and nothing is said. Do you ever go, look at that. Look at the body language. They just want to scream at each other. Or look at their demeanor, or just, you know, something like that. Or you just don't look at, you just look at the plays.
I look at the plays mostly. Sometimes when I watch the games live, you know, I'll try to take note of that. And I obviously, people who listen to this spot for the last couple of years know I grew up a Kansas City Chiefs fan. There was a few weeks ago where Marcus Peters was screaming at the defensive coordinator on the sideline.
Yes.
Part of, you know, I think a national response of, oh my God, you know, they can't have that. If you watch Kansas City, Marcus Peters screams at somebody every quarter.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just how they are. Right? And it's fine. And they don't care. And I think, you know, Seattle kind of has a culture. Richard Sherman screams at somebody every possession, but that's okay. I think as long as it's accepted within your culture and there are boundaries, it's fine. Now, there are some teams that if somebody screams at somebody on the sideline, it's a huge deal. And other teams, more veteran teams, you can get away with it a little bit. If Brady screams at somebody, it's all right. If that happens, if Tyrod Taylor goes off on somebody, maybe it's a little bit more surprise. So I think it just depends on the team.
Matt, I mean, it's been two different seasons in a half a year for the Pats defense. I mean, what, 32 points a game or whatever? They were just hideous for the first four games. I think they're giving up 12 and a half, whatever it is, over the last four. What are you seeing on the film that's happened? I mean, obviously, the communication's gotten better. They're not leaving guys wide open. They're not crashing into each other. Is that all up to communication?
Honestly, this is one of the few times it's as simple as they stop blowing a ton of coverage. You know, and look, I think Gilmore, it's a weird thing to say, but since he's been out, they've been better. And I think part of that is, you know, look, Stephon Gilmore is a very good cornerback. Okay, and I when they signed him, I thought it was a good move, and I still do. But he struggled a lot at the beginning of this year. And so I think, you know, he's learning a new system. It's a lot different than the way he played in Buffalo. And I think that was evident when you watched the games. Not to say that it was all on him. He certainly was. There were times Malcolm Butler was blowing coverages. Safeties were missing assignments. But the pass has cleaned it up. Now, part of that also, and I feel like I say this every week about them, but part of it also is they have played some teams that have flat out been inept. San Diego or Los Angeles early in the game, Melvin Gordon ripped off an 89-yard run for a touchdown, and the Chargers just stopped running the football at times in that game, which is mind-blowing to me. But, you know, with New England, they're going to have to win in January with that offense. I don't think that defense is stopping Pittsburgh, Kansas City. I would have said Houston, except for now Deshaun Watson looks like he might be out for the year. So, you know, they'll stop Tom Savage. But I still think New England's offensively, you know, they're going to go offense first, and then the defense has to do enough.
Matt, we'll get you out of here on this. You mentioned Watson out for the year, and for those of you just joining us, it is a torn ACL, and it is confirmed by Adam Schefter, Ian Rappaport, and others. So when you watched Watson on film, and I watched every play of that Seahawks-Texans game, he looked phenomenal. I mean, just what now is the league as a whole missing by not having Watson in it for the rest of the year?
It sucks, honestly. I really wish I had a better analysis for it. He has been tremendous, and I'll be the first one. Like, I liked him coming out of school. He was my second quarterback behind Mahomes. I thought he was going to be really good. And then in the preseason, he looked awful in the preseason, and he really did. And so I thought, hey, you know, he might need a year. He didn't look good in his first start against Cincinnati, but then that New England game was really what kind of vaulted him and got him going. And he has been so dynamic and so exciting. I don't think the Texans are winning the Super Bowl or anything with him. That defense without Merciless and Watt, they were not going to beat the upper echelon in the AFC. I think they could have got to the divisional round, but I think that's probably where the season would have ended. They were exciting, and they were fun, and they gave, you know, a city that really needs a lift, even with that Astros World Series title. You know, it really gave them something to be excited about here going into, you know, the holiday season or anything else. And It just really is a downer for a guy who's been that good and that fun to watch to blow out his knee in a non-contact practice. Just unbelievable.
Yeah, that's just insane. Unbelievable as we got the news on that. Matt, always a pleasure from fansided.com. That's Matt Verderam. We'll speak to you next week, buddy. Enjoy your weekend.
Thanks, guys. Take care.
All right,
thanks,
take
Matt.
Care. Matt Verderam, everybody, at fansided.com. All that was on the tape of the game. And, of course, no game to preview this weekend. They'll go ahead and get a bye in this one.
What are we supposed to do? No Patriots.
Yeah. Well, it's
that is weird, though.
It's coming at a good time. So
it is. But that Deshaun Watson thing, that's the word. It sucks. I mean, as a Pats fan,
you look at the stars in this league that are out for the year, from J.J. Watt to Whitney Merciless to Watson all on the same team, to Odell Beckham Jr., to Eric Berry, to Joe Thomas. Andrew Luck. I mean, Edelman, there are a number of star players. It's unfortunate.
Now, you know, just real quick on Andrew Luck, people know this, that he's going to be gone all year. I never, and I don't know if this was some, like, you have to have some great intelligence to think, you know, some great prediction, but I didn't think he was coming back. I, I didn't think that there was a reason to rush him back. And I knew he had surgery and it wasn't coming along well. He had the same surgery as Jay Cutler did.
Right.
And they weren't even close to them being in the same time frame.
Well, for me, today's news wasn't a big surprise in the sense that they're not bringing him back. But it turns out they're not bringing him back for health reasons. I thought, just as you just said, I thought they just wouldn't. I mean, why chance it? Why bother putting the franchise, you know, in danger if you're going to finish 4-12?
4-12. I wouldn't risk anything. I wasn't going to bring him back anyway. There was no reason to go ahead and bring him back. I never thought, and all that baloney, he never was coming along, too. That's got to be very concerning. And this guy's making $100 million, right? Is that what he's getting?
Oh, what a country.
I mean, it's not fully guaranteed, but a lot of it is guaranteed. Yeah. That's for damn sure. They're certainly not going to move on from him, but that's just a killer.
I'm telling you, the way things are going, the last man standing in this league is going to be a 40-year-old quarterback.
Oh, jeez. All right, Bray, do we need a qualifier? What are we going to do that?
Let's do the ESPN qualifier right now,
all right,
everybody.
Tell everybody about that.
So we are going to ESPN Studios in Bristol. We are going on November 17th. It's a Friday. We can't wait to get there. Our friends at Kevin Smith Sports are sending us there, and that's the spot you want to be at as hockey season comes. So get in now, 802-655-6672. We'll take caller number 6. When we go, you'll come with us. We'll eat together in the ESPN cafeteria. We'll get a tour of the facility. You'll meet who we meet, shake hands with everyone we shake hands with. You'll sit in on the huddle, Champlain Valley game night. You'll join the huddle. Guys who went with us back in May, we're pretty darn impressed by it, and you will be too, we promise. Caller number 5 right now.
All right, number 5, get on it, 802-655-6672. What's coming up next, Brady?
Seth Everett, he's of NBC Sports Radio. He was there for Game 7. He talks that and maybe what the biggest storylines of the offseason will be.
All that and more right here on 101.3 ESPN. Come.
All right, break time is over. Back to the best sports talk in the Champlain Valley. It's The Huddle with Rich and Arnie, only on 101.3 ESPN.
Welcome back here in The Huddle, right here on 101.3 ESPN and 101.3ESPN.com. Let's get right on to the TikTok Jewelers guest line, breaking down Game 7 of the World Series. Is Seth Everett, baseball expert at NBC Sports Radio. Seth, what'd you think of Game 7 last night in L.A.?
Hey, I was very happy for the Houston Astros, the city of Houston. You know, I've had a lot of dear friends in Houston and, you know, had a lot of great, wonderful experiences with that franchise. And, you know, considering what that city has been through, I'm thrilled for them. It's a bunch of really nice young guys, a nice young manager, and I was happy for them. You know, I had picked the Astros in the beginning. I had picked them at the beginning of the season, so, you know, it was satisfying from that standpoint. As far as the game was concerned, I didn't go too in-depth. It was not a game the Dodgers were going to win.
What's more impressive to you, George Springer's resume for the World Series or Carlos Correa getting engaged on the field?
Yeah, that was pretty cool. I know my wife dug that. That was pretty nice. And, you know, I'm a fan of Ken Rosenthal. I guess they orchestrated it, you know, in advance. So that was kind of neat, and everybody kind of was caught off guard by it. I tweeted it. I thought I had a pretty good Twitter joke. It didn't get as much reaction as I thought. I said, boy, how did he play Game 7 of the World Series with that ring in his pocket?
Yeah.
I remember when I got engaged, I picked up the ring in the morning, and then I had to do a radio show. I had to do a three-hour radio show, and I couldn't take it out of my hand. I kept futzing with it because I was constantly worried that I was going to lose it. And I couldn't focus for like 1 minute. How did he do that?
Hey, Seth, the Astros are not going to be a one-year wonder. It's hard to have dynasties in baseball, but this team's core is young, and it's under control, team control, for a lot of years to come. How good can this team get subsequently?
Well, that's the key. I mean, the key to the whole thing. And I mean, if you see the emergence of McCullers and you see the emergence of Charlie Morton, you know, I think that's been a key. Keuchel's been a great ace. He's been a good leader. We've always thought that they were maybe one away. You know, they could address their bullpen, but the lineup is so impressive. I mean, Springer has been great, and you know, Springer can give a lot of credit to Carlos Beltran. That was something I thought was very overlooked during the course of the series. The impact of both Brian McCann on the pitchers, and Beltran on the outfielders. I did a fun podcast with Carlos Beltran, I want to say 18 months ago, and I asked him, why are you still doing this? Why are you playing in your 20th year? And he said he gets a great amount of satisfaction to see his proteges, succeed. And that was something like, you know, he took a lot of credit, for example, for Brett Gardner when he was with New York. And so when he got to Houston, I said, well, that's what this franchise needs, because, you know, they're a young team, and I was very, very impressed with how the veteran leadership kind of paces the, you know, the way that team stayed on an even keel.
Seth, the thing that impresses me most, and the thing I keep coming back to, is when we talk about tanking in sports or rebuilding in sports, like, this is what you're hoping for. Like, when it works, the Astros are the product that you get. When you don't, when it doesn't work, you get the Cleveland Browns. But when it works, you get the Astros. I just keep coming back to that.
Well, I'll use a better example, because Cleveland is truly an anomaly.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because in an era where you can go 4-12 one year, you know, 12-4 the next year, 8-8 the next year, and there's no rhyme or reason for it, that truly is parity. I don't think baseball has that. I think they have competitive balance. And if you've seen, I mean, the Cleveland Indians were built that way. The Pittsburgh Pirates were built that way, but they didn't win in the postseason. That's a huge difference. So what's the difference between the Pirates and the Astros? Just postseason success. The Chicago Cubs were built in that same vein. You know, they added some veterans on the staff, you know, Arrieta and whatnot, but the fact of the matter is that, you know, the Chicago Cubs are Rizzo and Chris Bryant and these young kids, and that's how you build a team, the Kansas City Royals. Now, the difference with the Kansas City Royals, and this is something the Astros are going to soon learn, and, you know, their owner is a guy who I've questioned in the past, because I didn't like the shady way he bought the team and kind of stole them from the National League, and, you know, I thought that was a great disservice to the Houston fans. Because now, instead of playing the Cardinals and the Cubs and the Brewers, who are all in their time zone, now they're going to Oakland, Seattle, and Anaheim three times a year. And, you know, those games, while it's not on the East Coast, it's still in the Central time zone. That's 2 hours later. Those games are ending at 1 a.m. And I just thought that was a real crime to their fan base. And for what? Like, is baseball better served having the Astros in the American League? No one ever, and I've covered this sport for 22 years, no one ever said to me, man, it's not fair. There's 16 teams in one league and 14 in the other. I never heard that as a problem. So don't create solutions to problems that don't exist. And so what my point is, as far as the Pirates, is the Pirates knew as they got good that it was going to get expensive to keep them together. Now that's what happens. How do you decide which ones to offer multi-year deals? Which ones will forego arbitration? And if you're going to say, for example, Springer and Altuve are your main targets, what do you do with Correa now? Do you ride it out and let him go eventually be a free agent? How hard is it to keep a nucleus together when your money should really be spent on the pitchers?
Yeah.
That's, to me, the dilemma. That's why I find it fascinating how these teams that have success, the Royals are a perfect example. There are seven guys on the Kansas City Royals this year that are free agents. All of them won the World Series 2 years ago.
Seth Everett, NBC Sports Radio baseball expert, with us here on 101.3 ESPN. So from the World Baseball Classic all the way back in March to the last out made yesterday on November 1st, what is your view of the 2017 baseball season as a whole, Seth?
It'll go down in history as the year of the home run, but to me it's the year of the strikeout. There were way too many strikeouts, and it has made defense harder. We have seen offense scored, but in uncomfortable ways. There's just a limit to just exactly what you know, this sport can do as far as an entertainment faction. I think the thing that sold the World Series was that no lead was safe, and that you didn't know, you know, if a team had a 4-0 lead, you didn't know which bullpen was going to show up. But in baseball, 72% of games with a lead wind up ending for the team. You know, they go for the team that had that lead. Very few comebacks. And I think that's what's something that's been missing in the game. And I think that you combine that with just the slow pace of play, I think this is a sport at a crossroads.
Seth, we'll get you out of here on this. For those of us who are hot stove league nerds like me, what's going to be the off-season storyline we follow the most?
Well, you're going to start to see, you know, some of these pitchers that are on the market. And, you know, I think the big thing that you're going to see is, you know, the high-ticket home run guy is not going to make the same kind of money that they used to. I think that, you know, they're a dime a dozen, and if we're talking about a sport where, you know, shortstops are hitting 24 home runs, you're not going to go and spend $100 million for 35 home run guys. I'll be curious to see where Giancarlo Stanton is. Does Bryce Harper get traded? Does Mike Trout get traded? I mean, there's always those kind of questions, and that's why I find, you know, these kinds of conversations are more fun in the offseason, because every team's in on it.
Seth Everett, NBC Sports Radio baseball expert, joined us a few times throughout this year. Seth, we appreciate the time. Enjoy the off season. You've earned it.
Thanks, man.
All right, there you go, Seth Everett, the foremost baseball expert for NBC Sports. The guy really knows his baseball. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about that. I work with him over at Fox. So
billion.
Oh, there'd be a quarter of a billion.
That's not
but there'd be I hated talking baseball with him because I never knew enough like him. It was just like it was horrible. I got to be honest with you. It was absolutely horrible. Who was the qualifier there, Brady?
For what?
Didn't we just do a
for the ESPN
qualifier? Yes.
You just tell me what you want.
I don't know. I'm just throwing stuff out there.
It was so much going on. We can't keep track of it.
It was Dave Quiet from South Burlington, and that's also Big Dave on the text line, the same guy that says he could beat you in basketball.
He always threatens that, but he never shows up. It's always yak.
Which is funny for a guy named Quiet.
Yeah, exactly. So, all right, so he's the qualifier. And now we're supposed to be picking a beard for this Movember stuff, so, right?
Yeah, so this is pretty cool. Yeah. We kicked this off yesterday. Yesterday is the start of No Shave November. Yeah. It's also the start of Movember. They're two separate movements. They both promote men's health and awareness to men's health. And so we partner with the Vermont Beard and Mustache Company. And so every Friday for the month of November, we're going to be giving out some, you know, basically some kits. So we got some beard oils, some shaving oil, all good stuff. And look, we all used it now at this point. I used it when I shaved completely the other day. It was great. So if you just go to our Facebook page, 1013 ESPN, you'll see a post there for Movember. You just take a picture. If you've got a crazy beard, you take a picture of it, and then we'll get a couple qualifiers a week, and then we will pull that winner on Friday. So today's qualifier is Dustin Michael Santee on Facebook, who looks like he hasn't shaved in about 5 years.
Well, that's a doozy right
Dustin,
there.
Well, I'm going, I don't see him. Dustin. Oh, I see. Yes. Now, wait a minute. Is that a fake picture of the guy? You know which one I'm talking about?
Like the ones of us on Facebook?
No, the one that says MJ Johnson?
Yes, that's fake.
Oh, because I'm like, that should be the quality. Look at that. This one, Rich, the one where he's got the head.
Oh, yeah.
No. I'm like, that's pretty
looks
cool.
Looks like something out of 1860.
Well, it looks like Raleigh Fingers. But
Yeah, 10 Raleigh Fingers.
Right, yeah, do you remember Raleigh Fingers mustache? Yes. Oh, and that was the best, man. That was awesome there. So
Dustin Michael Santee is our qualifier today.
Let me
today.
See him. Let me go down there. Oh, he looks like what's his face? The quarterback, the old quarterback of the
Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Yeah, Ryan Fitzpatrick. There you go. Doesn't he look like Ryan Fitzpatrick?
Without you.
Yeah.
And I are just like this.
Yeah, the entire show would just be
Who's
if you
that guy?
Here, it would just be two guys saying what's his face
what's
and
his
what's
face? Doesn't he look like Ryan Fitzpatrick?
He does.
Yeah, he's got that look there.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a thick one too. Wow.
Looks like Joe Thornton a little bit.
Brady, yours looks like that just from yesterday.
No, so I am 2 days in now, day and a half, and I've already got the pretty good 5 o'clock shadow going.
There's a lot of people with beards. I didn't think we'd get that many entries. Well,
you know what happens up here is guys start growing their beards now.
Like lumberjack guys?
As soon as the temperature hits 40 or less, the beards come out.
The guy that won has been growing it longer than that.
Yeah,
I have to assume.
About 1980. Yeah.
Wouldn't you need to grow the beard out? I mean, what's a really good beard take? Are you talking about a winter beard? It would take like
a year.
3-4 months at least to get a good base.
It depends how young you are, too.
Yeah, but if I started growing a really good beard now, I'd have a really good beard by May, and then I'd be really hot.
And then you'd wipe it out. Yeah.
I got to be honest. I've never kissed a dude with a beard, but I can't imagine women like to kiss guys with a big beard like that. Am I wrong about that?
You're asking me.
If there are women out there that have guys with have boyfriends mustaches. Or husbands with beards and mustaches, then they can comment.
Yeah. Well, I guess so. I can't talk for you this time. 802-655-6672 on the Town Fair Tire text line. But I wouldn't think it'd be very fun to be kissing a guy with, not that I'm doing it, but I'm just saying it wouldn't be very fun kissing a guy with a beard and mustache.
Well, that's where that's where our advertisers here are coming in.
So I guess that's why you don't have beard and mustache.
I don't have it because I'm good looking.
You don't want to cover any of that perfect face.
I don't want to. My skin is silky smooth.
Right.
Matter of fact, look, I shaved today with the
with the shave oil.
With the shave oil.
Did you like that?
Yes, I did. Look at my face.
You're as smooth as a baby's
seriously,
butt.
Look at that. Look how smooth that is.
You didn't even use. You'd be like, have you ever seen the Seinfeld where Kramer shaves with the butter?
No.
That's kind of what this is like.
Really?
It's great.
I am. Seriously, because look how smooth
you're
that
stunning,
is.
You're stunning, man.
It is. Isn't it? I'm being serious.
I'm going to hang around
and there's
you.
There's no like stubble like Brady. Right. It's just looking good.
I'm going to be right next to you at RJ's because you're just going to have the women flocking to you tonight.
I'll be your wing guy.
All right.
No, I want people to come up to me and touch my face so you feel how smooth it is. Seriously.
If you and I was a little nervous about using the shave oil without shaving cream, but I did it. And it was great.
Yeah.
I was nervous, but it worked perfect.
I put it on salad. I love it so much. Oh. just kidding.
My salad is much less easy.
It was just so great.
Let's go to break.
All right, what do we got coming up next, Brady? What's coming up?
Coming up next, for a reminder, Champlain Valley game night. Amani Toomer is going to join us, former New York Giant wide receiver and a Super Bowl champion. So he'll join us, and we'll also have legendary Middlebury College soccer coach Dave Sayward's going to join the show. He's in his 33rd and final year at the helm of the Panthers program. Coming up next here, though, Gordon Hayward. He finally spoke. He did it via the written word, and he did it on the Today Show. And we've got audio, and we've got sound bites, and we've got clips from both.
Got me all misty-eyed. So all that's coming up next. You are in the huddle right here on 101.3 ESPN.
Coming up tomorrow.
Okay, that was a long enough break. We're back to the huddle with Rich and Arnie right here on 101.3 ESPN.
All right, good afternoon, everybody. You're in the huddle right here, 101.3 ESPN. It is a Thursday, second day of November. Wow, we're just cruising along now that we're through October. I mean, Thanksgiving is around the corner.
Oh, yeah. Oh, bring it on.
That is my favorite. And then, of course, Christmas time. So
yeah, Christmas is okay, but you have to shop for Christmas.
Yeah. What, you
There's
hate
no
doing
shopping
that, yeah.
for Thanksgiving. You show up and you eat.
I already got your
Do you
Christmas
ever
present.
Do you chip in money to your families?
No. No, I just show up and eat ridiculous amounts of food. I can't help them cook anything because I don't know how to cook. I could dump the cranberry sauce on the plate. But.
Another 30-pack of Bud Light for
No,
Christmas.
There's no drinking. My family
No, no, for that's my Christmas gift to you.
Okay. 30 pack I thought you were saying my family is going to give me a 30-pack. That's not likely.
No, that's what I usually give you.
Yes, I'm looking forward to it.
The gift that keeps on giving, that's for sure.
Rich doesn't have to give me a gift because he brought me a couple of goodies from the Connecticut Tigers, so he doesn't owe me a gift.
Well, he wasn't going to get you a gift anyway.
I got you a birthday card.
Yeah, you got me a birthday card.
That's a stretch for me.
You didn't buy me a birthday drink.
Oh, yeah. But I did show up.
Yeah, you didn't buy me.
Is there any value to that?
Yes, but you didn't buy me a birthday drink. It's customary that on someone's birthday you buy that person a drink.
Well, you weren't drinking.
I bought you a drink when you left for the summer. Hey. I bought you a goodbye drink.
You did?
Yes, you did.
I think a lot of people bought me a drink that night.
By the way, 2244, local 2244, I think we should do like the morning show on Christmas.
You go right ahead, Arnie.
Why? Get to do a little TV?
Yeah, that's just what I want to be doing on Christmas morning instead of being with the family. And yeah, that sounds great.
You know what's weird?
Well, just like an hour.
Speaking of Christmas,
yeah.
Today we're getting down towards the stretch where we have to put in for our vacation days.
Yes.
Like, what do we want off and things like that?
I'm taking a month off.
Spring training.
Now, I have never been – this is my first full-time job in radio. I was part-time before, so I had no benefits. I had no official vacation. When I first started my first job in radio, I took a week off and I went to California with my buddies, but I'd had that pre-planned prior to getting hired. I have never had an actual vacation while working. Like,
wow. Are you going to go away or no?
No, but I've never had I've only taken a few days off so far.
I'm going to spring training. That's all I need to know.
That's all
you're not allowed to go.
And skiing.
You're not allowed to go.
But that's all he ever does is go.
Rich left
training.
For the whole summer, so he doesn't get vacation.
I suppose that Connecticut gig was a four-month vacation.
Yes. Yeah, of course.
Yes.
So I used up my allotment.
Yes, you don't get vacation now.
I'll put mine in right now, 26th, 27th, 28th, and 29th, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday.
Okay. It's done.
It's done.
Yes.
And we don't work that Monday, do we?
We're already free for a week.
Monday is Christmas. So.
I still would like to do some TV. I don't know. Maybe I'm available to do some TV.
Absolutely.
With my silky, smooth skin.
Absolutely, with that perfect face of yours.
I don't see why I can't do the morning show. Why do they not call me? Why do they ignore my calls? I do call there. I'm sure you think I'm kidding around. I call over there to speak to the boss.
Why?
Because I want to do some TV.
Why would you ever? How many times have we had this discussion?
I want to do some TV.
It's not going to happen, Arnie.
Well, I've done TV in L.A. I do TV for CNN, for Dallas, Chicago.
With that silky, smooth skin, how can you not be on TV?
How can I not?
Well, you did TV in L.A. by being a contestant on the Newlywood show.
Yeah, that was great.
Newlywood Game, I guess it was called.
Won that one.
John in St. Albans says, Arnie, I'll do a Christmas show with you.
All right, you're done. I'm serious. I need to do TV. I'm gonna hound that boss until he puts me on TV.
Finally, he just won't be able to take it anymore.
All right, fine. Just come on down.
Just
to hell
get
with
out
you.
Of my life.
All right, get to Gordon Hayward, because this actually got me a little misty eyed there.
Yeah, Gordon Hayward.
It did.
Gordon Hayward wrote a blog describing his injury and talked about his feelings after what the pain was like, talked about his family. He also spoke on the Today Show this morning, and we've got a couple of clips from that. I generally only like to play clips that are like 40 seconds or less, but these are all about a minute. We're going to play it here. You can hear Hayward get emotional in some of these. Here's first Matt Lauer of the Today Show asking Gordon Hayward about his family being in attendance.
I read that your parents were there.
Mm-hmm.
can't even imagine what it must have been like to be your parents watching what was happening to their son on the floor.
Yeah, I mean, it's as a parent, you don't want your child to go through that. And as a parent myself, it's like thinking I would rather take their pain. So, and this is where it makes me emotional because... like, I wouldn't want Bernie or Charlie to go through that, so... sorry.
It's okay.
And I remember seeing my mom, and she's crying, and... like, that's just tough. It's tough to see your parents cry, too, because then, makes you emotional, and... we went back to their locker, and we took x-rays. That's where they said, you have a broken ankle.
All right, so, you can hear the emotion. Obviously, yeah. He's crying. He's breaking down.
I got him to cry.
Why the Today Show?
This was weird.
Yeah, I didn't understand what.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know what there. About the Today Show that it was, but yeah, it was just surprising to me because when I think of Gordon Hayward, I think of a guy with not a lot of personality, a guy who, and maybe it's just stereotyping where he's been in the past. He's from Middle America. He's from Indiana. He played at a small school, Butler, unassuming. He played in Utah, kind of. Unnoticed for all those years, and even in Boston, he's never made any ruffles. You don't see him out much, anything like that. So it was surprising to see him. I generally just think of those guys that I think of as kind of plain and boring. I think of them as oftentimes emotionally detached, and that wasn't the case.
And it's such a unique situation that he's in, where you have this superstar player come, and everybody's so excited, and wham, 5 minutes into the career. I mean, how many other star players have been out for the season in 5 minutes?
Zach Miller.
New team. Yeah, but, nobody in Boston knew what to make of it.
It
puts him in a very tricky position, too. I mean, what is he supposed to say? He's played 5 minutes in Boston.
It reminds me of the big man that you wanted to get on.
Andrew Bogut.
That guy was within 30 seconds of it?
Yeah. And now the money wasn't there. The star power wasn't there.
Right.
It is a player that Cleveland thought could help them win a championship, and instantly he was gone right away. Hayward continued on with Matt Lauer talking about what his timetable for return might be.
When you're sitting back in that room and the ice is all over you and they've told you you have a broken ankle, you know this season's done.
Mm-hmm.
What's that like to digest?
That was tough. And that's when... Robin calls and I'm talking to Robin and she's trying to, support me and says she wish she was there. And, God doesn't give you a challenge you can't handle. I think having the two little ones will really help me. They give you a little bit of perspective because they don't know what's going on. They just know daddy has a boo-boo. And so they like to decorate it with stickers and they like to give it a hug and a kiss because that's what we do when they get boo-boos.
What do you want to learn through this experience? What have you already learned?
I think I'm going to come back better than ever, and I firmly believe that, but I know it's going to be a long and difficult process.
I'm just curious because, we hear that it's he's gone for the year, it's 7 months, 8 months. I'm just curious, when can he just walk normal again? When is he going to be able to stand in one spot and shoot baskets? When is he going to be riding on the bike? What's the national progression from something like that?
So Stefania Bell, who's an ESPN fantasy football expert, NFL expert, but also an injury expert and a licensed physical therapist, she joins Champlain Valley Game Night every Wednesday, and I talked with her about this. And if I'm remembering correctly, she said there's kind of three phases to this. The first phase is just... the bone has to heal. The fracture has to heal in his ankle. That's 6 weeks. That's about a 6-week process for the bone to heal. Then you've got to go through the strengthening exercises of getting the dislocation to heal. And then you've got to just get the confidence back in the leg that you can actually do things. And so that oftentimes is the hardest part of the process, having the faith in your own ability to be able to jump again, to be able to land again, to be able to shoot. I mean, look what happened to Paul George. Paul George came back and played, but it took him a year and a half to get right.
Derrick Rose said he wouldn't play unless he could slam dunk off both, the left knee or whatever the knee was that was impaired.
Yeah. I believe that.
I was absolutely terrified to go skiing for 6 months after I broke my leg skiing. So, and that's one of my favorite things.
But it didn't hurt you. It wasn't still painful or anything like that.
No, not after I took the rest
of
the year off.
Well, you still get drained, though.
But you think about it. I think it's like getting, in a much smaller, less serious way, in my case, like getting back in a car after a car accident.
And the other thing is that I think that makes these situations a little bit different is that, like, on skis, yes, obviously there's inherent risk of skiing, but when you're on skis, like, Hayward has to get the confidence to use his body in that way to jump again, to run again, to collide with someone again. And I think it makes it a little bit different, whereas in skiing, it's you and the elements rather than you and all of these other acts.
Wait, if it's so psychological, how come when so many people have Tommy John surgery and they all come back better than ever? I mean, there's not a doubt in anybody's mind that all these guys, I mean, kids want to have him at 17 now.
Yeah,
there's no psychological problems.
One thing about Tommy John surgery is when you have that, it's not because of something that happens suddenly and violently.
Yes, no, isn't
no,
it?
No, you don't snap your arm, do you? Isn't it slowly degenerating situation?
But there's a there's a moment where it pops. So there is that. But I think, Arnie, more along the lines of if I'm a pitcher and I've been hit by a line drive, it's going to take some real psychological fortitude for me to get back on the mound.
Okay,
if I'm a batter and I've been hit in the head.
Right.
Even Odell Beckham Jr., you look at a wide receiver like that now, can I go across the middle again?
Yeah.
Can I take a hit? Can I get upended? All of those things. Can I plant, Julian Edelman, can I plant and cut again next year?
I mean, you mentioned getting hit in the head. Tony Conigliaro came back. It was never even close to what he was. Blair got hit in the head. He never again came back.
Yeah.
I mean, he tried to, but it was very psychological.
Basketball's tough psychologically to come back from an injury like that. I'm not saying physically, but psychologically, because you do so much, you know, you're jumping and you're shooting. Everything has to do with that knee.
Yeah, and you wonder if Hayward's going to want to go down low for a couple of, you know, for the first couple of games and take sort of an alley-oop or whatever that play was that he got hurt on.
Hayward also talked. He also wrote a blog, which is pretty powerful if you read it. It wasn't a Players Tribune piece, but it was like a Players Tribune piece, just in a different format. He talked about how writing has actually helped him get through this process.
Yeah, I think it was very therapeutic, and I've written several blogs, and this one was by far like the longest one, is like the time that it took for me to do it and the time that it took for me to put into words exactly what I wanted to say and how I was feeling and describing the moment that it happened. I think that was good to kind of talk it out, and you know, I hadn't really talked about it until then, and so I guess sitting down and putting out my thoughts was really helpful for me. And you know, now that it's out there, I can kind of like move forward and you know, continue with the rehab and the recovery.
Rich, you're like making fun of the music
like
it's the Titanic.
Look at you.
I hate that stuff.
Rich doesn't have an emotional bone in his body.
You have nothing there.
Just let him talk. Don't commercialize and dramatize everything.
You're not going to go get the women at RJ's with that lack of emotion and sensibility.
I picture him running on the beach. What movie was that when they're all running on the
Chariots
beach?
Chariots of Fire.
Yeah, Chariots of Fire.
Well, that's what I was doing in the studio.
Hey, real quick, Brady. Are we done with Gordon? Do we have any more?
Yeah, we're done with Hayward. A good text. And I didn't remember this officially.
Yeah.
Nick in Plattsburgh. Kajana Carter. Remember, he's the running back out of Penn State.
Penn State.
Bengals.
Got drafted by the Bengals. He was the number one pick in the NFL draft. Shredded his knee on his third professional carry. I didn't remember it was that early. I knew he had been injured and it was a, quote, bust as a result of the injury.
Good call.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Real quick, ESPN came out with their top 1 through 341 college basketball. This was sent in to us, and it was UVM at number 74, my friend.
Nice.
UVM at number 74.
All right, we're moving up. That Concordia win to the trip.
I'm still not liking that. I'm still not liking that at all. Chris the Met fan, Jose Canseco, got hit in the head with the ball and went over the fence. Never was the same. I don't know if he ever was to begin with there. Yeah, I remember that play. That was awesome,
man.
That was fantastic. I absolutely loved it. That was cracking up on that. Celtics 6 straight, though, so we'll touch on that as we go ahead and finish things off. What's coming up? Do we have a good last story standing or what? I asked the intern to give me a last story standing. Did you find the last story standing? He's looking at it.
He never got an email from
me. I only sent it like an hour ago. You think he would have said something to me by now?
We've got something. Relax.
Yeah, we got something. Now it's coming up next as we finish out the show right here on 101.3 ESPN.
It's time for one last piece of news gone untouched throughout the show. Wacky or insightful? It's time for Last Story Standing on the Huddle on 101.3 ESPN.
All right, we got a few stories for Last Story Standing. Brady, you got the one on the Sports Illustrated cover, so tell us about that.
Yeah, so that famous Astros cover that predicted the Astros would win the World Series in 2017. Well, the Sports Illustrated from 2014 is popping up on eBay and is being sold for as much as $1,000. The average price, $280 for the original magazine. Sports Illustrated does not sell reprints of its covers, but it does sell, you know, whatever, the replicas for $20.
Wow. $1,000. That's a good. Are you a collector, Brady? Do you collect, like, jerseys or, you know, any autographs or anything
yes.
like that?
Yes.
Do you have anything good or no?
I mean, I have a lot of stuff that's valuable to me. If you're asking, okay. could I sell it for a ton of money?
Yeah, that's not going
to
happen.
I got a bunch of baseball autographs, things that are important to me, a bunch of autographs from NFL training camps that I've been to, things like that. But in terms of money value, probably not a ton. I have a hat of every major league team.
That's pretty cool.
A fitted hat of every major league team.
But the cover of the SI, $1,000, man.
That's crazy. Can't you just find it and print it?
I would have liked that.
You could fit the print. Yes, you could print the picture, but.
Yeah. But no one's going to pay $1,000 for that.
$1,000. I'm just going to print the picture.
That's when you need a DeLorean to go back in time and get like 1,000 of those things. Unbelievable.
Or a Tom Brady Aston Martin.
Yeah, I used to collect stuff like this. I had a whole bunch of stuff. I've pretty much gotten rid of a lot of my stuff.
Is that because your wife made you?
No, that. I give it to friends. I used to have like an Arnie Palmer lithograph, a Jack one. I had a game-worn Franco Harris jersey. Lynn Swan jersey, stuff like that.
Well, you still have an Arnold Palmer Sports Illustrated cover because you were the high bidder at the Lake Monsters
playoff game. Yeah.
Did you ever get that stuff?
Yes, I did. I picked it up. It's not signed, though.
Oh,
it's not signed. Yeah, but that's okay. I mean, I did pick him up, and I got that. So excited about that. Yeah, I used to collect all that stuff. I don't know what I've done with all my stuff.
It's in a cellar somewhere.
I'm dealing with my kid, right? 20 minutes ago, I found out my kid got traded again. So
it's like the 17th time.
So he's not going to be playing for Buffalo. He's going to be playing in the Central Canadian Hockey League now.
He's a 19-year-old journeyman.
I don't even know where Brockville is.
Brockville is in Ontario.
Yeah, where exactly is that?
It's nearest to Toronto.
Oh, there you go.
I thought it was near to Montreal.
No, it's in Ontario.
All right, so it's in Toronto.
You got to drive.
Well, you know what? Now I'm going to check. Now you might be right.
That's
it might
a 3 or 4 hour drive.
I don't know where it is. I want to go watch him play. I don't even know.
Can you imagine that town with Arnie showing up?
Yeah, Brockville, Ontario. So now I got to.
Yes, I was right. Okay, so it is in Ontario.
Yeah, but where is it? On the Toronto side or Montreal side? So I could.
It is right along the St. Lawrence River.
There you go. By the time we figure out where it is, he'll have been traded.
So what does that mean? So
it is right near the St. Lawrence River.
Chicoutimi?
It's up. It's very, very.
It's far, is what you're talking about.
Yes, it's very far.
All right, so I'm not going to be driving
this
up there.
Riveting radio.
It's basically straight.
I got to watch him. He keeps getting traded every time I want to go watch him.
It's straight down from Ottawa.
What?
That's the hall. It's about a 5 hour drive.
It's straight down from Ottawa, but right along the water.
There you go. Just get a paddle boat.
Yeah. Every time I want to go watch him play, he ends up getting traded. It's unbelievable. All right, RJ's once again, Brady, tell everybody what's going on, what we're doing, what you're going to be giving away, and we're all going to go ahead and be down there. I'm going to come after my hockey game. I'm looking forward to that, so I'm excited.
Yeah, it is not
sweaty.
It is not near
the shower.
It is not near Toronto. It is closer to Montreal than Toronto.
You know how to read a map, you two guys,
it's
or what?
It's about halfway between, isn't it?
Yeah, it's about half. It's a little closer
to
Montreal.
So like above Michigan or something?
No, it's above New York.
It's like Cornwall.
It's like above Potsdam.
Why did I say above Michigan? That's
that
like far. The dumbest thing I ever
What's
heard.
That? That's 3 hours away.
You just said 5 hours away.
Well, I thought it was closer to Toronto.
We are the three biggest idiots when it comes to geography. I'm just
anyways, RJ's tonight.
Jeez.
Labatt tailgate party will be there. So we're all hanging out. Jason's going to come through. So for all the people that miss... For all the people that miss Jason, he'll be there also. You could win $1,000 in cash. You could win more than that even. You could win Patriot tickets. We've got giveaways. We've got $2 Labatt Blue drafts. We got free wings after 9:30.
I'm looking forward to that.
It's going to be a really good time tonight, for
sure. All right. So go down to RJ's. We will all be out there. Hopefully my kid won't get traded by the time I get to RJ's. I won't have to go ahead.
He's playing for Chicoutimi and Moose Jaw.
Exactly. Moose Jaw's not a bad team. So we'll have a little fun down at RJ's. All right, for Brady, for Rich, for Arnie. Coming up next.
Intern Lance.
Oh, Intern Lance.
And old intern Aaron, who came to hang out with us.
Totally forgot about old intern. Well, old intern
Aaron. You can't leave
you, Arnie. And intern Lance. Yeah. They all come back.
He
they just love
the
us so much.
Abuse.
Champlain Valley game night. Coming up next right here on 101.3 ESPN.